Every month on All Things Considered, we turn part of the show over to our listeners. We try to find out what music is making people think and talk and listen. Today, we're joined by 26-year-old composer Steve Escoffrey. He's in the studios of member station KUOW in Seattle. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Jennifer.
So what is the first piece we're listening to?
This is a song, I guess, from 1984 by a band called Nena. And the singer of Nena is a German musician named Nena Kerner.
Some might remember from 99 Luftballons.
Yes.
Lass mich dein Pirat sein.
Now, do you speak German?
I do not, and so my pronunciations are likely to be very poor.
What's the name of this song?
This song is Lass mich dein Pilat sein, and the translation is Let me be your pirate. And so it's kind of a weird love song, I guess.
Which you know from the cover notes, since you don't speak German, or?
I actually did some Google translations of it. There were some words that I could pick up, and so this is actually something that I like about listening to music in languages that I don't speak. There might be an occasional word that I can pick up, and so I get a sense of the mood of the music, and then I get an occasional word, like I can hear the German word for kiss and horizon. So it just sort of creates a beautiful image, like half purely musical and then interspersed with a few occasional words that I can understand.
So it's an impression you get from the music.
Yes, exactly.
Let's move on to your second selection. What's that?
This is something by singer-songwriter John Wesley Harding, my favorite musician, and so I absolutely wanted to include him.
Love's reign of terror is over. Common sense finally won.
This is called Love's Reign of Terror.
Yeah, and John Wesley Harding tends to write about subjects that other people don't write about. In this song, it's about love, and so he approaches love from a different angle.
What do you mean, a different angle?
Whereas most songs that one would hear about love might be sort of, ooh, ooh, I love you, or something like that, he sort of personifies the idea of love, and then he actually talks about all of the terrible things that have been done in the world that were inspired by love. And then the idea of love is actually put on trial.
Was no kisses and candy. The truth will emerge at the trials. Where did you think were the heartless when everyone walked down the aisle?
Your final selection is a work by Arnold Schoenberg, a classical composer. But before we get to that, we'd like to play a short selection of one of your own classical compositions. This is called Sea of Tranquility. Would you say you were influenced by Schoenberg when you wrote that piece?
I think I really was. I actually wrote this piece a few years before I started working completely atonally. And the piece from Arnold Schoenberg, that piece was also written soon before he began writing atonally.
So the pieces are... I'll take a stab here. Verklärte Nacht?
Verklärte Nacht.
Let's hear a little bit of that. Now, you said Schoenberg wrote this before he started writing atonal works, which you can explain to us in a moment. But this work was also quite controversial at the time. I understand when it was debuted in 1902, riots broke out?
Yes, I believe so. This piece was written in the latter part of the Romantic period, and we probably wouldn't think of it when we hear it now, but this piece was one of the most modern pieces that had ever been written at that time.
And how would you describe it as being modern at the time?
this piece was really expanding tonality further than it had ever been expanded before. And I believe that this piece may have helped Schoenberg to realize that he really needed to go beyond tonality completely to express what he really wanted to express.
And that means, for the lay listener who's not well-versed in classical music,
basically all of the Western classical music that was written from the 16th century through the 19th century was tonal music. And, you know, most pop songs that we listen to are also tonal. And each chord has a very specific function in tonal music. And so our ear recognizes it very well, and the music is able to go somewhere and then resolve. And, you know, there are a lot of standard ways of doing that in music. Tonal music is based on an 8-note scale, a regular major or minor scale, for instance. And atonal music adds in the 4 other notes in the Western scale. So atonal music is based on 12 notes.
That would include like the black keys on the piano.
Exactly, yes.
You say tonal music is resolved. What is atonal music? What effect does that have on listeners?
Because all 12 notes are used, the harmonies cease to have one particular function. And so the composer is able to create any kind of effects they want very freely. And so oftentimes, atonal music is characterized by sort of a free-floating feeling, and the music does not really come to a sense of conclusion in the same way that our Western ears are used to.
And why do you like listening to works like that?
What I really like about atonal music is that this is basically the first time in history that people have been able to fully express themselves and to write whatever they want to write. And so I really admire Schoenberg especially because he was basically the founder of the atonal system, and many other systems have developed since then, and nowadays people are sort of creating their own styles entirely and their own systems of rules for each piece. And interestingly, even just a few hundred years ago, it was virtually illegal to write this kind of music because governments and the church in previous centuries actually considered certain dissonant chords to be signs of the devil.
Huh, so Schoenberg was the alternative music guy of his time.
Very true.
Okay. Steve Escoffrey, thanks for sharing your music with us.
Thanks, Jennifer.
If you'd like to find out more about Steve's selections, go to npr.org. If you want to tell us what you're listening to, send us an email to watc@npr.org. Please put the words listening to in the subject line and include your phone number so we can call you. What Are You Listening To is produced by Susan Stone. That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jennifer Ludden.